There are thousands of films made every year, each by filmmakers who hope their talents will be discovered at one of the prestigious film festivals around the world. Competition is stiff for a cherished slot in a major festival program. But one Texas film has made the cut for the biggest festival, the Cannes Film Festival. The film is Stop the Pounding Heart, and its screening next week in France will expose the work of several talented El Pasoans to a global audience. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guests today are Julian Kimbau and Carlos Alfonso Corral, two of the crew members for the film Stop the Pounding Heart. They make up a trio of local talent that hope to find themselves at the Cannes Film Festival next week with the screening of Stop the Pounding Heart, and I'm happy to have them both on the show today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Great to have you both here. What a big brass ring, the Cannes Film Festival. I think most filmmakers dream about this, and you guys are actually probably going to be in France next week. What does that feel like?
Honor. Yeah. Huge honor. We're real proud to represent our city. So,
this film was shot outside of Houston, so let's break down what you each did. Julian, what was your role on the film?
I was the first camera assistant on top of also operating and shooting about a third of the film.
So. Cool. And Carlos?
I was second camera assistant. I made sure I file managed and just anything to get the movie done, basically.
So let's, for people that aren't familiar with all the roles on a film, it takes an army to make a film. But Julian, if you could walk us through kind of what your role was.
Yeah, sure. Normally, as a first camera assistant, you'll be pulling focus, which is adjusting your focus manually, depending on where your subject is in front of you. So I'll deal with that, and usually with the style that we use with this group is handheld. So that's a challenge in itself, but it's great, too. It's a lot of great experience, and I think that's key.
Distance between the camera and the subject are constantly changing.
Constantly,
and you're
yeah.
the guy that has to make sure it never goes out of focus.
Right. That's pretty much my ball game on top of also, you know, the camera will be handed to me, and I'll operate it sometimes, too, because we'll just do long takes. We won't cut. And after some exhaustion, the director of photography, Diego Romero, will just hand it to me. And then if I get exhausted, I'll just hand it to the director. So the director of photography, myself tend to shoot the movie. Hmm. Like in all three films, it's been kind of that same pattern.
So. And Carlos, you mentioned file management. You shot this film on digital, so that's a whole different ballgame from managing film.
I was actually excited to hear that we were going to do film, but at the same time, I'm so glad we didn't because it was already a hassle with digital. I can only imagine with film.
Now, you both worked with writer-director Roberto Minervini. I think, Carlos, this was your first time, but Julian, you've worked with this director before. How did you two get connected in the past?
The director and I originally met on the first piece of this trilogy called The Passage, and but we heard about each other originally from the Philippines. It stems all the way back there. Mm-hmm. The director of photography, Diego Romero, was my cinematography teacher out at an international school there. And
in the Philippines.
Yeah, in the Philippines. He's actually from Spain. He's from Vigo. So this international school gave me a lot of perspective from mentors from around the world. Hmm. I met Diego there. And actually, Roberto, the director, used to be the head of mentors at the school. But I did not meet him until the first movie. So Diego really bridged that gap to allow us to meet. And we're three films in and ready for more. So.
And this is part of a trilogy?
Yes, this is part of a trilogy. This is the end of it. And
interesting.
Yeah, I'm really honored more than anything. It's fantastic. So,
it's a little dicey, I know, when you get a film into a major festival like this. They put a clamp down on information about the film. But what can you two tell us about what the film is about? It is a feature.
Well, I mean, not to sound cheesy, but there's a lot of love and like just life. And the way I see it is that I got to see, I guess, American cinema through a European's way. I kept saying that and. At the shoot that it's such an American movie, but through a European's eye, I don't know how to explain that, but it just made me see the world different, seeing these people.
It's a slice of life film.
Yeah, because it was very documentary approach, so.
It is a narrative film, though. It's not a documentary, but it has that feel to it.
Exactly. I almost would call it a docudrama. No, actually, we did not start with a script.
A lot of improv.
We started with an idea, and Diego and Roberto are both really strong in writing and directing and with their experience, so. You know, they had consulted me about the idea and I felt strong about it that we could do it. And, you know, they're like, okay, well, if you can get a team together in a few days, then we'll do the movie. If not, then we won't do it. So it was kind of
in a few days.
Yeah. Like it was a last minute thing to kind of, you know, we had to convince Roberto to feel that it was the best time for him to do it. He was just having a kid come into this world and his second child, and he was, you know, it could have been his last film. So he was really debating, should I do it now? Should I wait? And, you know, there was no waiting really. So we decided, okay, let's go with it. And he's all, well, we need a team. And luckily I had the trust between Aaron and Carlos to come into this movie, and they trusted me with it because for them, it was their first experience on doing film. And and it wasn't necessarily about their strengths technically. It was about their chemistry that would work with the director and the
Aaron
DP.
Madrid is the third of your trio from El Paso that went to Houston.
Right,
so you
Aaron
just called
Madrid.
Them up and said, hey, let's go to Houston tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I consulted them both. I literally had a month where I knew that they wanted to do the movie, but I had no idea what format or what we were doing. So for me, it was a matter of, before I knew that they wanted to do it, at least have some people in mind for crew. So.
Was there professional actors cast for the film? Or
No professional actors, all real people. And these people are actually from the outskirts of Houston, you know, within the limit of what I can talk about. But these are real people in their own situations. And I think back to what, you know, I was telling you, there was no script, but there was an idea. And these people allowed the story to kind of unfold. You know, eventually just sitting like the documentary approach, you kind of become invisible.
So it's sort of like a neo-realist film, sort of like what was happening in Italy in the 50s with Roberto Rossellini, where he's using non-actors.
Yeah, right, truly.
Just taking his cameras out on the street to tell a story.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, especially, I mean, and like Carlos said, it's a very Texas-American film, but the perspective is very much like that. It's a European approach. I could reference like the Dardenne brothers who have certain perspectives and staying on a single lens and tracking a person or a subject and sticking to that, no explosions, nothing overwhelming, nothing, you know, just straightforward. So
I guess the decision to go digital on that actually made it easier because then you can just roll longer and capture
that light. And it made it a lot easier for Carlos, who, you know, I was having to train Carlos for two digital cameras and a 35 millimeter camera because we weren't sure. And he took on that really well. And yeah, luckily for him, it was in film stock.
One thing that also kind of shook me was that since it was my first film and I always wanted to work on a film or whatever, so I was like focused on all the technical stuff, but it's amazing that it's not even the technical stuff that makes a movie. It's like straight up how he says chemistry, attitude. Yeah. Like Diego, the cinematographer, that he kept saying it's all about attitude. It doesn't matter if you know how to use this lens or not.
Yeah, if you capture the performance and the magic is happening in front of the lens, then
right,
you know, you've got something there. But I think the other issue with digital is, I'm sure when you're making these kinds of films, you actually roll longer than you would with film, and then you've got a whole lot more data to deal with.
I forgot how much data we had. We had so much, though.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous, like 50 terabytes or more, I'm sure. I can't even remember. It was just...
Now the director and some of the other cast and crew are hoping to be in France next week for the screening of this at the film festival there. And you three are trying to get there as well. And you're trying to raise some money right now. I think you're pretty far along to your goal. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your fundraiser?
Yeah, well, first of all, we want to thank La Parada, the Lowbrow, and also Pizza Joint, and all the local artists to help us.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
We set a goal for about $6,600, and that was supposed to pay for the flights, lodging, and food for us three, which really doesn't amount to much when you go to France and you're from El Paso. That doesn't really balance out all that well. So,
no tuxedo expense.
And that's another thing. We do have to get a tuxedo, you know, because it is a bow and tie event. But, you know, we're just happy that and honored that the community came out to help us. And so the fundraiser is online. And
the website for people who want to donate to the cause is?
Yeah, the website if you want to donate online is www.maintain.com. That's maintain.com.
Now, this is not your first gig going to a major film festival. I know, Julian, that last year, working with the same director, you two had a film that went to the Venice Film Festival, another one of the biggest film festivals in the world. What was that experience like?
That was a huge honor as well. That was the one that caught us by surprise and I think led us to have the energy and momentum to then cap off and be noticed by Cannes. But for me, it was a great honor. You know, coming from El Paso, you don't really have outlets. And so to go out there to represent not only our hometown, but our family and friends was a huge honor. And the response was really well. We thought maybe 20 to 50 people would come to the screening, and we had over 1,000, and it was a huge response. More than we can imagine. So,
And that was the film Low Tide, which was also with Roberto Minervini.
Yes, that's correct. And that was a different format, which was also fun, 35 millimeter, which is fun, which I think everyone should dabble with if you have a chance.
So you both and your third of your trio, who's not here in the studio today, but you all are based in El Paso. You know, I've seen a lot of features coming together from local talent. You've worked with Ileana Sosa, Child of the Desert in the past with a short, and she was just on the show last week. And I think you've worked with Zach Passero on Wicked Lake. But
good friends, yes.
do you two see a point at which, you know, the local economy and film production world can support you guys enough that you're not always having to travel?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I think we're a perfect example right now where it's hard to find that funding from the city to be represented for your city, but the communities come along and it's hard. Like, you definitely have to love it and stick to it in order to feel like you can get out of it, you know, and actually do something with yourself on it. But if it wasn't for the community and the patience that I've had from earlier mentors, it wouldn't have happened. But I want to thank Steve Osborne from Tortilla Productions for really taking me under his wing and showing me the grounding on that and giving me the strength to be like, it's okay. You're okay. It doesn't matter if you're from El Paso. You can do it, you know.
Yeah, so. He does great work. Carlos, when did you decide you wanted to get into filmmaking? Was that something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, I guess so. When I went through my grandpa's stuff after he passed away and I found like a Fellini archive of movies and I started watching those, and then those were like my first like real foreign movies besides like Mexican, because I was growing up on those. But then I actually started working in a Fellini film cafe on Cincinnati, and Betty, I asked her, or I told her that, you know, I wanted to go to film school, and she told me basically that that was my film school. Was there.
And yeah, keep watching, right?
Yeah, she basically let me take out her whole inventory and just start watching everything.
So you're self-taught.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then Julian, you know, you have an interesting background in going back to the Philippines and taking classes there. That was an international film school you were part of?
Yes, it's called the International Academy of Film and Television. It's still around. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my background on film, I learned everything here in El Paso. I went to that school for only a year, and I've been doing film production for 12. So
amazing.
Yeah, my strength came from my background here in El Paso. So
how do you stay on top of all of the digital technology that's coming down the pike? It must be changing constantly.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I just heard of two different cameras that came out, but yeah, it's amazing. I think that's the best thing we can get is like just newer stuff.
Well, yeah, it's easier for our generation to absorb it, and cameras really haven't changed within the basic idea of this, the fundamentals of what you need for it. So yeah. I think it's almost more convenient for kids our age and our, you know, in this time to be able to test things out digitally. And then if you feel like you want to shoot film, then transfer it right on over or shoot it, you know.
Well, it's great to have you both in here, and I'm so excited for you to hopefully be in France next week.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you for the time.
Let's get you over your goal.
Thank you.
I've been discussing the new film, Stop the Pounding Heart, with Julian Kimbau and Carlos Alfonso Corral, two crew members on the film. The film has been accepted at the prestigious Cannes Film Festival, and the local crew members here are raising travel funds to attend the debut of the film in France next week. If you'd like to support their efforts, log on to the fundraising site maintain.com. That's maintain.com. They're nearing their goal of $6,600 and need your help to finalize their travel. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.